All right, we're having a lot of fun here at 97.5 The Fanatic, just going over the Eagles draft. And really, those first two picks are hot buttons for a lot of people. And my friend Derek Gunn is on the line. He's on our Comcast business hotline, Beyond Fast. Gunner, thank you so much for taking a little time out of your day. Let me just start by this. If I said, please grade the Eagles, they got 10 guys in this recent draft. What grade would you give them as an overall grade for the entire three-day process?
Oh, wow. You know, it's so early trying to decipher what is and what isn't. But as I said on our show last night, and Barry Brooks said the same thing, I give him a C-plus right now.
All right, that's what a couple of callers said, so I feel good about that. Okay.
Yes. So, you know, first two picks, you know, I know everybody wanted Jefferson. Everybody wanted the Eagles to jump up and get CeeDee Lamb. And, of course, Jefferson's sitting right there at 21. He goes to Minnesota at 22. People lose their minds. And then, of course, the second pick, when they take Jalen Hurts, Eagles fans on Twitter went crazy. And some of the comments towards Howie Roseman were downright hilarious. And I'm watching them as we're taping the show. And guys will say, oh, you're going to read some of them. I'm like, I'm not reading some of these comments. There's no way. This is a family program. So it's amazing. People get jacked up for the draft. And, you know, everybody goes by everybody's evaluations and all the mock drafts. You don't know who's going to pan out until they get in the system and find out if that system is conducive to their style of play. And for every high draft pick, that doesn't make it, their middle round and lower round picks that will make it.
Right.
So I'm going to wait and see before, obviously, being more critical or giving more accolades to this organization.
Gunner, when it comes to the Jalen Hurts, let's face it that if you bring in a young quarterback that you are developing for your future, you don't have a lot of high expectations for that first year anyhow. But because you have a franchise quarterback, you gave him $100 million. He's 27 years old. He did make it through the regular season last year and had the unfortunate concussion when I'm talking about Carson Wentz. How will they use Hurts? And next year, do we not really even have to worry about him not being on the field? But the following year, people will be saying, what's the plan for these two guys?
You know, as soon as they made the pick, and I was made aware of the pick about 6 or 7 minutes before they made it, and I'm like, no way. I mean, this has got to be a joke. And when they made the pick, I'm immediately thinking, okay, you know, he has the attributes to be another Taysom Hill, similar to what they do with the Saints.
Sure.
And sure enough, Doug Peterson stepped to the podium and said the same thing. So he has the physical attributes and the skill set to do a lot of the things that Taysom does, but he's not as big as a Taysom Hill. But, you know, for them to make that pick, when you're a franchise quarterback in the prime of his career, you have a number two pick under another year contract, and I'm thinking you're going to draft another quarterback maybe in the middle rounds to develop, like you tried to do with the kid Thorson last year, and he didn't pan out. You can always pick up another quarterback to develop after the draft, undrafted rookies. But for them to take a second-round pick and to make this pick when you still needed help at linebacker, you needed help on the edge in terms of your edge rotation and your NASCAR package. And, you know, from what I've been told, the Eagles are still crossing their fingers, hoping that Jason Peters is coming back. But Big V is not walking through that door anymore. So you can use another offensive lineman as well. Obviously, you weren't going to take an O lineman in the second round. But you had other specific needs. You could have taken, you look at the volume of receivers that were still on the board.
Yes.
You could have taken another receiver and really enhanced your passing game, even though you made the trade with San Francisco. It's just baffling to me why they made that move and went with Jalen Hurts.
Gunner, when he came out and said, you know, we're a quarterback factory or we want to be that, what did you make of that comment? What was he trying to say, or was he just trying to deflect because he didn't really prepare to have an answer for people who were puzzled by the move?
Well, he had time to prepare an answer before he stepped to that podium. But I do think he's trying to deflect at this point. I'm not speaking for Howie, but I don't think he could have imagined the negative feedback that came because of that pick. But now he has to go out and show the value of this pick, because you look at some of his recent early round picks, They have not panned out. We're still waiting to see what Sidney Jones is.
Yep.
Rasul Douglas. I mean, we still don't know. And we don't know. I mean, because I know for a fact they've been trying to trade Rasul for weeks, and there's been no takers. You know, Sidney Jones, this is it. This is his money year. What is Sidney Jones to this organization? You took a second-round pick on Sidney Jones on a guy you knew had an Achilles injury, and he was graded as the highest cornerback coming out of the draft before he got injured. So we're thinking, okay, year two, we're going to see this guy hitting the ground running. He's had some good moments and had some not-so-good moments. But now you have this guy. You can't have this guy, Jalen Hurts, standing on the sideline with his cap on backwards with a chart in his hand and charting plays 95% of the time. You have to find a way to get him on the field.
Oh, my gosh. Makes for good drama, though. All right, let me ask you, this is my final question to you. Because 2017, you get a Super Bowl, and now you say, we want more. And you think that you can, you know, a window is there. You think you have a roster. And the next year, no. And then the next year, no. Are they further away from contending again, or are they closer?
Oh, geez. That's a good question. Let me put it like this. I think they're right in the mix. I don't know if they're closer. I don't know if they're further away. That won't be determined, obviously, until the schedule plays itself out. But when I look around the NFC right now, you look at what's happened down in Tampa. Offensively, that team's loaded, and you have the best quarterback in that team now. New Orleans is New Orleans. They're going to be there. You know, you got Carolina's going to be there. Green Bay's going to be there. Minnesota. It's a crapshoot. It comes down to number one, who's healthy down the stretch, and who gets the hot hand down the stretch. And I think the Eagles are going to be in the mix. I still think it's going to be right now a duel for the division title between Dallas and, of course, the Eagles. But, you know, Dallas goes out and you get CeeDee Lamb to add with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, and you got Ezekiel Elliott back there. I think their offensive line now is starting to show some creaks in the armor in Dallas, but still, when you have those kind of weapons, you can do a lot of things. Washington's defense is better, but Washington still has a quarterback that's growing. I love Ron Rivera as a coach. So, you know, and Mike McCarthy is an offensive guy, so he's got an offensive-minded team right now down there. So it's going to be interesting. But you got to keep you guys healthy, which the Eagles have not been.
The last couple, for sure.
You know, and, you know, you've got to get hot. You've got to get a hot hand. And hopefully in December, the Eagles are both healthy and hot at the same time.
Gunnar, what do you guys have on tap tonight over there at NBC Sports Philadelphia?
Well, it's 7 and 10:30 tonight. We have a show we call On the Clock. Michael Barkan, myself, Ray Dinger makes appearance, Reuben Frank, Barrett Brooks, Dave Zangaro, as we rehash the Eagles draft picks, talking about individual players. That's on NBC Sports Philadelphia, again, at 7 and 10:30 tonight. A lot of opinions, a lot of guys' opinions that I value and respect. So if you have a moment, which we do have a lot of these days, tune in.
I will. I will, because it's good conversation. Gunnar, but it's interrupting your grilling time. How did you let that happen?
You know what, Dee? First of all, it's hard to say no to you, because I know you sent a contract out on me if I said no to you, number one. Number two, it's raining out here where I am in Delaware. But that never stops me, because I've been dumb enough to grill in an electrical storm, wind storms, hail, sleet. But I've been running errands for the last 3 or 4 hours, and I pulled in my driveway 5 minutes before you guys called me, and I reminded my family once again. I said, hey, look, I'm on the radio in 5 minutes. Nobody call or text me, please. So today is a non-grill day. My wife is actually making one of my favorites. She's making her tequila chicken.
Ooh.
So I'm actually going to grill it. She marinated it. I'm going to grill it for about a half hour. So,
I might need you to text me that. I just like the name of it. Tequila chicken sounds fabulous.
There you go.
Fabulous. Gunnar, I always appreciate it, and we'll tune in tonight. Thank you so much.
Stay safe, and everybody out there, stay safe as well.
My best to your family. Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philadelphia joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. I am going to tune in. I want to hear some of those opinions on this, just like I want to hear from you out there. Johnny is with us from Pottstown. Johnny, thank you for calling the Fanatic. How are you? Thanks for the patience.
All right, how you doing, D?
Doing all right.
Story day. Okay, no, Deacon couldn't have said it any better. You know, this reminds me of, you know, that commercial with Alex Trebek with the Colonial Insurance?
Yes.
Price.
That's a great commercial.
Yeah.
I mean, meaning for your analogy, yes.
Right. Now we have speed, speed, speed. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
On both sides of the ball. And people are calling, and they're getting so anxious about the situation. Carson Wentz is still our starting quarterback, and Jalen Hurts is our prized backup. That's just as simple as that. You know what I mean? I don't understand why all the hiatus about this situation.
I think because Carson is 27 years old, you consider him a franchise quarterback. I mean, I think most of us would agree on that part of it. So where does this guy fit into the plan?
Well, if you really look at it,
Because if Carson goes down, Johnny, Hurts can't help you right now. You think a rookie guy who's only getting X number of snaps in practice a day.
Okay.
If Carson goes down, can take you to the promised land like a Nick Foles did?
But I don't think that we're ready to go to the promised land once again. That's the problem. People want us to go back to the Super Bowl again. I would love that to happen. But Howie Roseman is retooling this team, right? He's getting younger, faster, and stronger sides of the ball.
Well, I agree with that. And I think you did need to get younger. Last year, they went into 2019 as the oldest roster in the league. I think they were rivaling the Patriots, but the Patriots had a couple of old guys that factored that in. But they were right there, 1-2. So I agree with you with getting younger.
Right.
But
and
faster, obviously. Now, provided that speed gets put to good use, you know, we're not trying to win a track meet here. We're trying to make sure you also have skill with the speed.
Right.
But my point being that, and that's why I asked Derek, do you think you are still in the window of contending? Because when you win that one in 2017, you didn't want just one. You thought you had an opportunity to cash in again soon. And
right.
So that's my point. If you think that they're just retooling, then I'm okay with that. But I think a lot of people out there are saying this is supposed to be a contending roster. We had filled these places on the roster that we were supposed to be closer, not being in another developmental phase.
Well, yeah. Well, now we're in a developmental stage right now. But I won't be surprised. I think we're still going to win the NFC East.
Well, that's the battle. I mean, you're in a battle with the Cowboys, it would appear on paper, for sure.
Right. But if I was Carson, I wouldn't worry about anything. I'm more or less looking at what J.J. Whiteside, our Sega, is thinking right about now with all these receivers that we just picked. I think he's kind of like,
I agree.
And
I got news for you. That pick does not look good for Howie either.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Johnny, I appreciate it. Go ahead and put your final thought.
No, my final thought is I think I give Howie Roseman a B-
okay.
for what he did. Okay?
Yep.
And I thank you so much for having me, and stay safe.
I will. Thank you. You do the same. I appreciate that. That's basically Johnny put a little bit of a more positive spin on a C+. Right? So his optimism might be a little greater than I put Gunner on the spot of saying a C+. Which is fair. What would you give it, Tyler, if you had to give the grade for the overall? We're talking 10 picks.
I think that a C+, B- is probably pretty fair. And it really comes down to, can you get your head past pick 53? Because I like Jalen Reagor. I don't know if I like Reagor more than Jefferson. But I do like him enough that it's not a D or F pick.
Right. I see.
I think it's, if you look at the third day, I think Kevon Wallace might be a home run pick.
I like that one.
I think Jack Driscoll is a good enough player that's going to give you guard depth. I think Tego Wanago is, I think probably could be.
His upside could be tremendous.
Exactly. You might not get a guy that's good right away, but you might get a legitimate tackle in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, his injury didn't help him. And his not having played for very long.
His lack of experience, it hurt him.
Right. But, I mean, people say that they didn't think he would drop as far, so you might have gotten a guy that could be somebody down the road.
Any other draft where he could have taken a physical and worked out, he's probably, even with the injury, he's probably a third or fourth round pick.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I've been reading about him. I find him fascinating. Let's check in with Fred in Blackwood. Fred, thanks for calling the Fanatic. How are you today?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Can you hear me is the greater question.
I'm so sorry.
No problem.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can. Technology is a great thing, isn't it, Fred?
First, I just want to say thanks for putting on a great show today. I've been out in the car. It's been a little gloomy.
It is gloomy. Really,
but you're putting on a good show. It's real nice to hear your voice today.
Thank you.
So, I can't defend the Hearst pick, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Have you ever invested $100 million in anything? Because I haven't. And I think that's all that I think that's all that pick was they were protecting their investment. Carson Wentz, I'm going to say he's injury prone. His back, that's something that might linger for a long time. And I'm a big fan of Carson Wentz. I love him to death. I hope he's our guy. But, yeah, I mean, I really think that pick was just.
All right, let me ask you a question. How is that? Or do you like that way of protecting your $100 million investment better than going out and signing a Case Keenum or, oh my gosh, I should know who else is out there as a backup. But you know what I'm saying.
Look what happened last year. Look what happened. We could have won that Seattle playoff game. And then what they bring in? Josh McCown? I think he's my age. I mean.
Right. But he was also third on the depth chart.
True.
Only
time will tell. I mean, they could have drafted the next Russell Wilson. You don't know that, and that's
true.
The real point of my call was I wanted to share a story, something I remember from a draft several years ago. Something I heard, and I will never forget. When they drafted Nelson Aguilar, now they got all the experts on the TV, the Pullians and the Gil Brandt and all these guys, and who did they compare him to when they drafted Nelson Aguilar? Size, height, weight, everything.
Go ahead, tell me. I don't recall.
All these people said, he looks just like Jeremy Maclin. And I'll never forget, this one expert, one of these guys, says to the other one, he says, they didn't just draft Jeremy Maclin. They just drafted the next Reggie Wayne. And I remember hearing that, and I got so excited. I was like, oh, my God, are you serious? And they said, his work ethic and all this stuff, he's going to turn into the next Reggie Wayne. Now, this Jefferson kid they passed on. You're hearing comparables. They say, oh, he could be the next Devontae Adams. And the truth is, you don't know.
No, you don't. I mean, and
nobody ever, nobody. Look at Corey Davis, how talented he was a couple years ago. He hadn't done anything.
And I would agree with you that we do, and it's not fair, but we do try to make comparisons to those who have been successful because of size, the way they play a game, maybe, route running, something. But it's not fair, and sometimes you hit and sometimes you don't.
My one of my good buddies is a diehard Cowboys fan, and he texts me during the draft after the first round. He says, well, what do you think? And I said, well, at least he's not a fireman. So
I have to admit, the fireman made almost, I definitely read at least 5 articles over the last 2 days where he's in the article for hits and misses for the Philadelphia Eagles.
And I really do love some of the later round picks, especially that.
I like the Kevon Wallace one.
The Prince.
Tega.
If nobody read his story about how he came to this country,
what
he said, he had $20 and a cell phone that didn't work.
Yep. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. So hopefully some of those later picks will pan out. One of the callers earlier said something that I was thinking about the way they're going to use Rieger. I could see a lot of jet sweeps, bubble screens underneath, let him go.
Yep.
And if it worked for Boston Scott last year,
then why not this kid?
Right.
I agree with you.
I think I have an idea what the offense is going to look like. And like I said, as far as the Hurst pick, it's not the pick I would have made. But like I said, I didn't invest $100 million in somebody. So.
Right. Fred, I appreciate
it. You have a wonderful day, dear.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Fred. Stay safe out there. Let's face it. Hurts by his resume and his story. Like, if we're going to talk about Prince Tega's story, which is remarkable. But Hurts, from a winning standpoint, from, having the championships and then having to you know, say it's another guy's job, and to then also go to Oklahoma and do what he did there, and to be the kind of quarterback that he is. You know, you don't look just at his passing statistics, because you also see the athlete that he is and his rushing touchdowns. And so he's an interesting person, athlete, story, winning, like the things we value. But you say it's a pretty significant investment of using your second round pick. And how often are we going to see him on the field? That's really the story. And even if you had a plan that you say, okay, well, this is who we're going to develop him in this first year, and then we'll have him, you know, doing this in his second year, or, you know, he's 3 years down the line of being the backup, but he's not. You're hoping for a healthy Wentz. That's what you're hoping for. Let's sneak in Tim in the Outer Banks. Tim's in the Outer Banks. How are you, sir? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
What's going on, D? How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. What's the weather down there? I think Outer Banks, I think, beautiful.
Probably about 75, blue skies, sunny.
Lovely.
Got a little sunburn today working in the yard, so it's a
perfect
beautiful day.
Nice.
Yeah. So I got a couple quick points. I'll talk really quick so I can get them all in. I don't waste your time.
No problem. You're not wasting my time.
One caller about four calls ago on Rieger, that guy was dead on. And
his vertical, the speed, that stuff?
Well, here's the bottom line. Everyone's like, you know, crying about not picking Jefferson. The reality of it is, you can find other receivers, may not be Jefferson, but have very similar skill sets.
Right.
Rieger and Ruggs, they're not a dime a dozen. That's a very unique athlete. And people need to really wrap their heads around that, plus the fact that get over the CeeDee Lamb thing. It wasn't going to happen, guys. Atlanta wasn't trading the pick. Dallas got him. It sucked. But you know what? We weren't getting him.
Got
and
it.
We did get some other receivers that have similar body type skill sets to a Jefferson and to some of these other people. Also with the Rieger, when people are always, he's not SEC. Yeah, you know what? And when he was playing against the team, they probably focused directly on him. When you play Alabama,
yes.
You play LSU, you got about seven different weapons.
You got weapons. Exactly.
So you're poison.
Yep.
So these guys that think that they're putting up all these numbers, it's because they can spread the ball around. They're not getting double teamed as often as that particular guy. He's probably got to work a lot harder to get open.
Sure.
Again, LSU, first off, had a great quarterback this year.
Yeah.
And I mean, and Alabama too.
Yep.
And you have multiple weapons. It's like you got to pick your poison with those teams. When you're playing a team like TCU and Rieger, they were taking him out. Like, that was their game plan, because they have a freshman quarterback.
Yeah, you focus on one thing, and you know that
correct.
This is their all. They're going to – and that freshman quarterback was hoping he could bail him out all the time.
Correct. And, I mean, another thing with the draft is really actually – I thought it was a pretty good draft. All things being equal, I thought the draft was really good. And the Jalen Hurts pick, I mean, I know everyone's just killing Howie for it, but – I mean, if you look at three of the eight teams that made the first round of the playoffs, okay?
Yes.
Three of them had starting quarterbacks miss significant time in the season. And even if, you know, most quarterbacks, even when you're going to a new team, you know, you're not hoping Wentz goes down the first game. If he goes down for a game or two, you're maybe mid-season where he's got a couple weeks,
right.
You know, some months of studying the playbook, and you dumb down the playbook. But with his ability to run and do things, at least you can be creative with that type of skill set. That's what it is.
Yep.
It's just an insurance policy, which, you know, if he goes down, then the offense stalls. But I really think the Goodwin pickup, I mean, there's a lot of really positive things that people need to take away from this draft. And everyone's trying to kill the team for that one pick. But, I mean, I think hindsight is going to be 2020. I mean, hopefully it's not. But
Tim,
it may be if we need him to come in there. And all of a sudden, people are going to look like geniuses possibly. So, I mean, it may have been a high pick, but he may have not been around in the third or fourth round.
Tim, I appreciate the phone call. You just like the blue skies down there. You got a good outlook. 610-632-0975. We'll step aside. We'll come back to your phone calls on the other side. Jalen Hurts, hot topic. Jalen Reagor, hot topic. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sunday evening, April 26th, I do believe. You know how I know it's April 26th? It's a real shout out. My grandmother passed away 10 years ago, but she would have been 100 today. Isn't that cool? So anyhow, I think it is, April 26th. We've been talking a lot about the Philadelphia Eagles. They had a busy week, as did every team in the NFL. A three-day virtual draft certainly provided a lot of entertainment, and I've looked at the ratings. People were glued to the TV, and why not? It was new programming and a hot topic, and people are just really looking forward to having sports again, and this was sports in one way, shape, or form. And so the Eagles ended up with 10 picks, and the first two certainly were interesting, to say the least, with Jalen Reagor going at 21, a wide receiver out of TCU, and then Jalen Hurts going at 53, quarterback out of Oklahoma. And, you know, people find them curious. Some are more positive about those two picks by Howie Roseman than other people. And we'll see. But right now, you just get to look at what you had, what you added. Did you add enough and in the right places with the right picks? And that's really where the conversation starts. Let's check in with Wayne in Sellersville. Wayne, thank you for calling, and thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
Nice talking to you. Good. I'm glad, as I was on hold, to hear some people like with reasonable reactions.
Sure.
The people that are jumping on Howie Roseman act like the players that have been drafted are five-year pros, and you know what they are. The reality is we have no idea what they are. You know, it's all projections from talking heads and scouts.
It is. Yeah.
Russell Wilson and Nick Foles won Super Bowls, and Andrew Luck and RG3 never won anything and are gone.
Right.
So,
well,
the fact of the matter is they spent all their money on Carson Wentz. Now they have a backup quarterback for 4 years at a cheap price, as opposed to paying different veterans every year $5 to $8 million to be a backup.
Well, that's a great point, because it is, and I did say this at the top, it's how you choose to use what is available to you, right? And so you're saying, here you have this backup that you really like and you can develop, and it's at a better price than if I do go out and try to get a Case Keenum, and how long am I signing him for anyhow as a backup? So there's validity to what you're saying.
They use draft capital as opposed to salary cap capital.
Yep.
And if they like the player, which I'm sure they do, And maybe he will do some things, but the reality of it, as Derek said, you can't have him sit on the bench. Absolutely you can.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers did it. They drafted Sidney Jones because they thought he was elite, and they were willing to wait a year. The reality of
Sidney, he had an injury. I see what Derek was saying. You know, here is this high-level talent. Yeah.
But you don't have to force him on the field. If Carson Wentz is doing well, then that's great.
Yep.
But he's played 4 years, and three of those 4 years, he wasn't the quarterback when they walked off the field for the last time.
Yes.
That has to be accounted for.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he could have slid during that Seattle game and never taken that hit.
Right.
Those are the kind of things he puts himself in harm's way, and I'm sure they were pissed about that. You think the other 50 guys on the field or on the team know they have no shot to win?
Right.
At least now they know that, you know, if this kid pans out, The other picks, I don't know, but I think the Jalen Hurts thing, it actually does make sense because they paid him so much money to Carson Wentz.
Right, and how much are you...
Numbers.
Sure, right, and I mean, that was the one thing when they let Nick Foles, you know, walk or go, however you want to put it, because how much are you investing in your backup quarterback when you are paying $100 million to what you think is a franchise? So there's, like I said, that's a very valid point. For sure. Now, it would help. Howie Wayne, though, to hit on some of these other picks because he hasn't had a lot of hits or enough.
I mean, look, you're right. And the fact of the matter is I hope Breger turns into something. And I love the fact that they threw darts at the wall with these fifth and sixth round draft picks and some undrafted free agents. You know, Tyreek Hill and Antonio Brown, were they first round picks? I don't think so.
No.
They were fifth and sixth round picks, and they turned out to be studs. So, you know, you get as many as you can, and you take a shot. Hopefully one of them works out. But considering how important the quarterback position is, and remember, the Eagles traded the pick to Baltimore that turned out to be the league MVP.
I know, Lamar.
You know, you think about that.
They
got guys to do all 13-8-2 to get Carson Wentz. Oh yeah, we'll throw in this, you know, last pick of the first round or first pick of the second round. Turns out that he's the league MVP. These guys, it's a crapshoot every time.
Yeah.
And the fact that people want to kill Howie Roseman because they didn't draft the name that some pundit told them was the better player. It's ridiculous.
Right. Well, no, but I agree with you that it is a crapshoot. I would like to think that some of the work that goes into studying these people is worthy and that you can use analytics to make these good decisions. It is their business. But
they
will
make educated guesses, David. You know that.
Yes.
With RG3 and Andrew Luck is as far as you have to go. The first two picks in the draft that year. Look at how many times.
Well, with Andrew Luck, I always feel
Ryan Leaf.
Yeah, but with Andrew Luck, they didn't invest in their line to protect the poor guy.
I'm just saying, circumstance comes into play.
Yes.
I mean, the guy that was trying to give Howie Roseman no credit for the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
That was wrong. Yeah, I hear you.
And I'm not like defending his draft. Some of the draft picks have sucked. I mean. But the fact of the matter is he said before in this off season, we're going to draft the players for the Eagles. We're not trying to win the draft. And you know what? Jerry Jones got CeeDee Lamb and good for them. But you know what? What's going to happen when Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and they're not getting enough touches and all the things that happen with prima donna wide receivers that typically happen. Those are the things, those are the people the Cowboys get. Maybe they look missed out on a stud defensive player, but they screwed us over in the draft.
Right.
But we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, we'll
There's
see.
Only one football.
Yep, you are correct. Wayne, I appreciate the phone call.
Take it easy, Dave.
You take you as well, and take care of yourself. Stay safe out there. Just to go to his point about Tyreek Hill, he was a fifth rounder in the 2016 draft, so 165th overall. Yeah, and he has 4,115 receiving yards. And he was also out of West Alabama. And he was the first player from West Alabama to be drafted since 1974. So to back up his point, you know, you can come from all places and in different spots in the draft. And it's trying to identify talent for a position that is a need for you. Would you say, Tyler? I mean, that's...
Of course. I mean...
And with football, it's so much harder. We're not talking about having, you know, five guys on the floor. I mean, this is a 53-man roster, and you need the depth.
Of course. I mean, the best wide receiver of all time came from Mississippi Valley State. You know, you pull guys from all over the place.
Yes.
I mean, there's a sixth-round center from Cincinnati who's an all-pro almost every other year in Jason Kelce.
Yes.
Versus, you know, a number one, a first round pick in Andre Dillard, who people are already talking about that they may be moving on from him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it ebbs and flows with first and late round picks. You got to get your guys from everywhere.
And it's been, and that's what Derek Gunn tried to point out, was that, you know, look, you're going to have busts that are high in the draft and you're going to have the ones that, you know, low in the draft that you hit on. I mean, it's going to be both. And yeah, they just did a special, probably because I have the NFL Network, but on Jerry Rice that you're pointing out to, about how they ended up drafting him in San Francisco, which was great. It was on the NFL Network. I don't even know what show it was. 610-632-0975. All right, I'm going to take a break and we'll come back and we'll continue this conversation. D, Mark, Jeff, Wayne, Tony, you're all up next on the other side. It's a great conversation about how the Eagles did in this draft. And really, until you see how it plays out, that'd be another thing we can add to this. How long down the road? So like Sidney Jones is kind of on the clock now. Is he going to pan out? Now's the time. So how long down the road for some of these, in the cases of the wide receivers, they need Rager, in my opinion, because you don't know about the health of Jackson and Goodwin, who are, you know, 30 and 34 respectively, or vice versa, and have had some injury problems. So I think with the Rager one, you actually need to hit here now. But how long do you give some of these other guys to, quote, develop these versatile athletes' speed that you got on both sides of the ball? What is your window of patience? 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hope you're enjoying this Sunday afternoon into evening, I'll call it. And it was a big 3 days of the NFL draft, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Started analyzing it yesterday, and today you get to be kind of like the Monday morning quarterback and really dive in. And, you know, now you've heard Howie Roseman talk about what they did. You've heard Doug Peterson comment on what they did. You've heard from some of those draftees and their excitement to, you know, get going, including Jalen Hurts, who was taken at number 53, quarterback out of Oklahoma. And that's the one that strikes up the most conversation. I guess Jalen Rager also, because a lot of people didn't think he would go as high as he did, or you didn't have to take him as high as they did, that he would have been like early in that second round. So should you have traded down? Because you could have. Jefferson was still on the board at the time, and Minnesota took him with the very next pick at 22. So the conversation goes. And there's been a lot of people, some are positive, some not. I like the last caller calling about how in the Hurts selection, while it seems like a misused pick in some people's minds because it's a number two pick and you don't see how this guy is going to be in the field, on the field, that for somebody else, it's allowing you to get a viable backup guy that you think is a very good player to protect your $100 million investment in a Carson Wentz. And that's fair because you have, you know, like you have this amount of money to use in your salary cap, right? And where do you allocate those dollars? And so instead of allocating specific dollars here, you used your draft capital to fill what is a significant need. And part of that need comes from history of injury with Carson Wentz and him not being on the field to close out each of the last three seasons. And unfortunately, that factors in. So let's go back to the phones, and we join Mark, joins us from Belmar. Mark, how are you? And thank you for calling The Fanatic.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Doing all right.
I guess I'm not like everyone else. I'm kind of optimistic. I would give this draft overall a B+.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I knew they were going to take Rager. I knew that was their guy, so I really wasn't mad about it. He obviously brings the speed and athleticism to spread the offense, spread the field, get other guys open. But then when it comes to pick 53, it puzzled me, as it did everybody else. I mean, you definitely can't argue that the Eagles took us on a roller coaster the past 3 days that none of us were really prepared to ride. So really, when you look at 53, it's just that there was so much talent on the board. And I'm a Hurts fan. I love Hurts. I love his athleticism. I love his competitiveness. I love his spirit, and I love his experience. But picking him at 53 is just so questionable. So you pick him for insurance for Carson, but then they're saying that they want to put him in a sub package like Taysom Hill. Well, Taysom Hill went undrafted. So when you put it like that, it kind of like makes me uneasy a bit. And then if you want to talk about a sub package, he's going to probably get 5 to 10 snaps a game. But then so the kickers and punters get 5 to 10 snaps a game. And I know nobody's drafting a kicker or a punter in the second round. So it's just like, I want to bash the pick, but I can't. I have to really accept that he's, and now as a fan, and as probably Philadelphia feels, now we have to have some sort of expectation for QB2 on the depth chart, and we already have our solidified QB1.
Right.
But overall, I mean, day one after Justin Rager, it was like, day two, it was really like, what are we doing? And then yesterday was really a difference-making day. They really just got some steals that people really just aren't noticing.
Which one would you say the most? Wallace?
I mean,
or further down?
That's obviously the one that everybody picks up. I mean, my favorite, honestly, maybe John Hightower out of Boise State. I feel like the kid is, obviously he can fly. Everybody else that they drafted can fly. And that brings me to my next point. But Hightower is an elite playmaker. He can really do it all. Obviously, he returned kicks and punts. And he was a big reason of why Boise State was ranked the past 2 years. So that kid's tape looks phenomenal, and I can't wait to watch him play. But drafting all these wideouts brings me to my next point is, last year, and as you guys already mentioned, Dillard, was such a wasted draft. And it's just like, this year, I know we had 10 picks, and I don't really mind any of them. I mean, obviously, I don't like picking Hurts at 53. I would have rather picked him at 103. But it's just, I don't even think our Whiteside is going to make the team next year. I mean, I feel like he's...
That won't look good if that's the case.
Yeah, it's not going to look good at all, but he...
I would agree that it looks like they went in a very different direction of what they are looking for in wide receivers compared to when they selected him the year before.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like they watched Andy Reid and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, yeah, and they changed the whole demeanor of the organization. I mean, you guys have to admit, we've never seen or witnessed the Philadelphia Eagles team that's this fast on paper.
No, and the fact that Howie held up last night, that piece of paper after they lost to Seattle,
yep,
first
Kenny
thing,
Run,
Kenny Run was the first one. Yeah.
Yep. That's all that matters. I mean, the city's obviously over the slow ride receivers, and these guys, like you mentioned, you actually stole my thunder. Tyreek Hill went to West Alabama.
Yep.
So, and Quiz Watkins can fly, and he was the third fastest 40 at the combine. Yes, he went to Southern Mississippi, but that doesn't take away his speed.
Mark, the only thing is for the people who they then say, but so did Nelson Aguilar could fly.
Yeah,
and that there's a little bit of a sour taste with that comparison when we see these flyers. So,
and we drafted Aguilar in the first round, right?
Yeah. That's true.
The value of Watkins is a seventh-round pick, so we didn't invest too much into that guy. And I'm surprisingly, after day two, I'm not going to lie, I think I broke a chair in my house when we drafted Ertz. but after day three, I think we really improved the roster. They obviously committed to speed, like you said.
Yep, and both sides.
I'm excited to see them play. At 21, I would have rather take Patrick Queen. Tyler knows I was really on the Patrick Queen bandwagon.
Tyler would have been on the same bandwagon with you.
Of course, yeah, no, we agreed. But I did hear Rager was their guy a couple of days before the draft, even though I feel like he would have been available at 53, considering Mims and those guys dropped. There was just so much talent at 53 that it hurts me that we took Hurts. No pun intended.
Right.
But like, you could have drafted Christian Fulton on the opposite side of Slay. You could have drafted Mims. You could have even got A.J. Espanza, the edge rusher from Iowa. And it's like, that's always going to be held over Jalen Hurts' head. And right now, he can't even do anything about it.
Right.
He's QB2 on the depth chart.
But in fairness to Hurts, because he can't do anything to defend the position he was selected, it's not going to be his fault.
Oh, of course.
Right. No, so it's really, it becomes the front office's problem and less about, which I'm happy for Hurts because he seems like a good guy and he doesn't deserve to be in the middle of this constant conversation of what did they do, you know?
Yeah, of course. He's definitely a good kid. I mean, everybody wants to talk about how good he did last year. But, I mean, if you realize he did go from the SEC to the Big 12, that's a big drop-off in talent. And I'm not bashing Hurts by any means. Like I said, I love the way he plays. I love his competitiveness. And that's another thing Doug and Howie went on. They said every position on this team strives on competition. And so, I mean, that's the meaning of sports, is it not?
It is, so, definitely.
So I like the draft. I'm not going to lie. Day two, I was really, after day two wrapped up, I was really confused and puzzled and a little bit troubled. I didn't know what route this organization was going. But after yesterday, and we filled a lot of holes, even signing running backs yesterday. We signed the kid Michael Warren, who's kind of like a LeGarrette Blount. He's a big straight runner, but he can catch out of the backfield. So I'm genuinely excited to see these kids come and play, but they are going to have a little bit of a trouble transitioning because there's no rookie minicamp. So,
I know. We'll see what happens, Mark. I appreciate
that. Definitely going to be interesting.
It is. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, and that's another part. These guys are going to kind of be starting back further than normal rookies because of that exact point. They're not going to be able to be on the field. And everybody knows the value of making that transition from college to the pros. Like, it really has to happen with, you know, rookie camps, OTAs, training camp. And none of that is going to be, well, we don't know what it'll be or what it will look like. But that it will be different is probably likely. And how does that affect, especially when the phrase, you know, talent that can be developed was used with a lot of those guys. And I think the jump for anybody going from college to the pros is significant as it is in that sport. And then on top of it, if they already see that there are some really good attributes, versatility, but now we got to hone those skills and they're just not going to have the same opportunities that have been there in the past to get a jump on it shortly after the draft because we are in this shut-in time. So we will see when it opens up again. Dee, you're up next on the other side. 610-632-0975. Jeff, Wayne, Tony, and Ron, you're all on board. And I'll get to you as soon as we come back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.